My name is Philippe, and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for today's episode, in the Brazilian version of the podcast, I interviewed Juliemar. Juliemar, he is the director of product at Amici. And during this episode, we discussed a lot about private label products and how to use AI to improve recommendation system. And he talked a lot about using OpenAI APIs because it's what they use for their recommendation system. And it was a very nice episode to understand how to build a product upon OpenAI's API. And well, at least about what he told me, it's working quite well. So first of all, what is Amici? Well, as I told, it's a Brazilian company and operates only in Brazil. So probably most of you don't know. And it's a company, actually it's more like a platform that helps companies, mainly retail companies, to develop and sell their private label products. For those that don't know what is a private label product, when you go to a supermarket like Carrefour or Walmart, they have their own pasta, they have their own rice, they have their own chocolate bar. And this is the private label product. It's a product that you can only find at this supermarket, in this label. And Amici, they not only help on the development of the product, but they also are a marketplace that connects the retail with the industry that will produce this product. So you might ask yourself, why should a company have a private label product? So normally the profit margin of these products, they are much higher. I don't know exactly why, but it's much higher, like he told me during the episode. And there is also a big point that the consumer can only find that product in the store. So if the consumer, they like your product, it means that they will be obligated to go to your store, to a store of your label, to buy this product. And what happens is that they will buy other products in your store. So you increase your volume just because of this product. And this product itself has a higher margin. So like win-win situation is very good. And in Europe, I don't know in the US, like most of my audience is from the US. I don't know in the US. In Brazil, we don't have a lot of private label products. Juliemar told me that it's around 7% here in Brazil. But in Europe, it's widely used. Like all supermarkets, they have their own private label. And at least myself, when I lived in France, everything that I bought was from their private label because it's much cheaper and the quality is quite good. So before entering in the marketplace, because there are a lot of applications of AI in the marketplace, of course, I asked him, how do they use AI to help in the product development part? So he told me they are trying two different stuff, not yet there, but at least there are some MVPs that they are developing inside the company. The first one is an image generation for the product. I thought it was very nice because they are using diffusion models to generate an image to represent the product. So you give a description of the product and the AI generates an image that corresponds to this one. He told me that they tried different models. They tried DALL-E 2, but the one that performed the best was Midjourney. He told me that it was quite hard because they had to use Discord to make the call and it was not that good yet. So he told me that yes, it's good, but still needs a lot of improvement to be able to use it in practice. So it's still an MVP. And the second thing that they are doing is using generative AI to build a chatbot. Basically, they are using OpenAI's API of ChatGPT. They feed this API with their own data of private labeling, and you can ask questions about it using their own chatbot. But still in MVP mode, they didn't deploy it yet. Okay, and there is something very interesting that he told me, is that they spend 80% of their time in short-term projects and delivers that's going to bring a lot of value for the company right now. And they have 20% of the time used to research in these two projects here that I just said, so image generation and also chatbot. And for this 20% of the time, it's a long-term product, something that can help the company in the future and make it use the new technologies such as diffusion models for image generation, such as chatbot, but it's not what's gonna make the product or the company succeed. So these are the long-term projects that they use 20% of the time. But now let's go to the part of that matters the most, that is the marketplace, where they have more applications on AI and things that they are using in practice. I asked directly what is the most important application, and he told me directly. It is the categorization of the private label products. Till the moment, I think that they classified more than 6 million products, over 2,200 categories. So 2,200 categories being classified for 6 million products. So it's a huge problem. And I asked him, how did they do it? So first of all, what shocked me, to be honest, is that they are just using the description of the product to make the categorization. So they have access to the image of the product, but they are not using this image, they are just using the text of the description. So I asked him why, and well, some stuff he told me during the episode, some stuff he told me after it, but as he told it's okay to say, I can tell everything for you in this episode. He told me that before they was using the clip model because, well, let me tell what they're using right now. So right now they are using the OpenAI's API, and what they do is that they give a pair of prompt and label. So the description of the product and the label that they label themselves in-house, and then they do it for a lot of products. So basically what they are doing is that they are training their own version of GPT-3. I think the model behind is GPT-3, despite it's not clear. I imagine it is. So they are training their own version of GPT-3 for their specific use case. So they give hundreds and hundreds of prompts with the answer. So the prompt is the description of the problem, and the answer is the label that they gave themselves to this product. And then ChatGPT or GPT-3, I don't know exactly, learns from it, and then it is able to classify all the other products. And he told me, and this is like, this really shocked me, he told me that they have 98% accuracy on classification. So over 6 million products, over 2,200 categories, this fine-tuned version of ChatGPT or GPT-3 is classifying like 6 million products over 2,200 categories with 98% accuracy. And he told me that what they do is that they randomly pick some samples of the output, and they analyze manually to see the results because, well, it's an unsupervised problem. They don't have a data set. It was the API who gave them the data set in the end. So they analyze it manually, and when there is a mistake, they retrain, like they re-fine-tune this model to fix the small issue that they saw. So 98% precision, it was amazing for me and honestly shocked me. So I told you that they are using this right now. So what were they using before? Before, they were using the clip model. For those that don't know, clip model is a multimodal model from OpenAI. That what it does, it receives in, as input text and image. And what it does is that, so how it was trained, it received a pair of image and text that are connected to each other. So you have the text like a child playing football in the park. And then you had the image of a child playing football in the park. So how the model is trained? The training is to have similar embedding space for the text and the image. So you have a connection between the text and the image. And what happens in practice is that you can like query from an image. So what happens is that you have similar embeddings for text and image. And with those embeddings, you have a much better representation of like the word itself, because you have this common sense. And actually clip is used inside Stable Diffusion, for instance. The encoder, the text encoder part of Stable Diffusion is just the clip, and it's a freeze version of clip. So they don't fine tune it at all because the embedding generated by the clip model in the text part is very good to feed into the image part of clip, of Stable Diffusion. I'm sorry to not have an episode about Stable Diffusion. I should have one. I already explained this algorithm at Cantev in our paper discussion, but I didn't make an episode. So probably I'm going to make it soon because it's a very nice model. It's and the application is amazing. Like it's image generation with these diffusion models. So yeah, this is what he explained me about the categorization of the products. So just summarizing here, they use OpenAI API. It's ChatGPT or GPT-3. I don't know yet. Actually, they don't know either. But what they do is that they fine tune it with some prompt and label pairs, and they do it for hundreds of products. And in the end, they have a model with 98% accuracy over 2,200 categories, which is amazing. So after this, I asked him, do you have some other applications of AI in the marketplace or anywhere else in the company? And he told me that the fanciest one is the categorization. Actually, it's fancy because of the results, but in practice, not that fancy because just using OpenAI API. But the reality is this is what's giving them the best results, so they should just use it, which is what they are doing right now. So two other applications that he told me is that they are able to help the retail on how to position each product regarding the price. Like how much should it cost and how should it be positioned against the concurrents. This is very nice because it's not really AI, but it's more like a data science analysis, a data exploration, data analysis, data science to understand how to position its product, each product. So this private label one should be a cheap one and people will buy because of the price. This can be like rice, but you can have a chocolate that is in a medium price because you're gonna say, okay, you have the super fancy chocolates like Milka, Lindt, but we're not gonna position ourselves as the cheapest one that is a lower quality. We're gonna position ourselves with a very good quality with a good price. So this they do from data, and it's nice because I think that this brings a lot of value despite not having fancy AI models behind it. And another thing that they do is that from the sales history, they're able to predict seasonality and advise both industry and the retail the volume that they should produce or buy. So this is a very simple technique, actually. They just use, I asked him if they use fancy AI models like LSTMs to do this or even transformer models. And he told me, no, we just use statistical models to be able to predict this seasonality. And he told me that this brings a lot of values because a lot of times there is a rupture in the stock that is about to happen and they notify the industry. So they are able to produce more, and if they don't produce, they don't sell. And as they connect both the retail and the industry, they have data from both sides. So they know when the retail that buys from this industry, we're gonna need more, and then they can tell the industry to produce more. And the opposite is the same. Like if you know that an industry, they have a huge volume of stock, they can say, okay, there are this, this, and this retails that they are needing your stock, so maybe you can do a promotion and sell like 5% cheaper, so they're gonna buy your stock and you're gonna have more money to produce other stuff that other companies are needing and no other industry is being able to produce right now. So they can leverage this information to bring a lot of value, and I think it's quite nice. So yeah guys, that was it. It's true that it's been a while that I don't publish an episode, and I hope I will be able to do it more right now. And yeah, I think that the next episode I'm gonna try to do something technically, maybe Stable Diffusion or something else, because it's also been a long time that I don't produce technical episodes. Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And yeah, don't forget to follow the podcast on social media. On Instagram, it's podcast.lifewithai, and on LinkedIn, it's lifewithai. And until next episode, guys, goodbye.